There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break, break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Good morning. Welcome to A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. I'm your host, Reverend Lee West. We want to welcome you to WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. This morning, I just want to briefly speak to you about a passion for souls. As I travel around the city of Philadelphia, and especially around the Kensington area, K&A, you know, we do a lot of ministry down there, feeding the homeless and passing out coats and blankets and various things like that. But I also take the time to pray with them and to speak with them about the goodness of God, that they don't have to live this particular life that they are living, that there is an answer. The problem is they feel like they're all alone. They feel like nobody really cares about them. So today I just wanted to briefly speak to you about a passion for souls. This is something that Jesus had. He had a passion for souls. He had a passion for people. And he didn't care whether you were sick, whether you were down and out, whether you were rich, whether you were poor, it did not matter to him. Color was not an issue. It didn't matter what part of the city you were from. He loved all. So the scripture reading is from Matthew 9, 36 to 38. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest.'" So what does that mean? The world is full of sinners. The world is full of those in need of Christ. Jesus went miles and miles and miles around speaking to those who were in need of Christ. Jesus took the time to minister, to feed, to heal those who needed to know more about Christ. In this passage, Jesus looked upon the multitudes that had gathered around him because of the miracles. As he looked at the helpless, he looked at the hopeless, he looked at the hurting people, Jesus saw four elements that caused him to be moved with compassion. These same four elements ought to cause us that claim the name of Jesus to have the same heart for sinners that motivated our Savior. In other words, as we profess to be Christians, as we say we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and as we say we're striving to be more like him, then we should be seeing the same things that Jesus said. So we're just going to spend a few minutes just looking into a passage as we consider the thought, a passion for souls. In verse 36, Jesus saw their departure from God. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." So we emphasize they were scattered abroad, outside the fold, which means no company or fellowship, away from the shepherd, no guidance or protection, away from home, no comfort or rest, apart from where they ought to have been. Sheep do not do well alone. Humans, we do not do well alone. I know, even as you use an example of this pandemic, I know that people being isolated away from their family members, away from their friends, away from their coworkers was an issue emotionally and even physically, because we are used to being around each other. We're used to embracing each other. We're used to a handshake or a hug or what have you. Christians need to understand that the world is away from God. People need to understand that we are not used to this, that we need each other. Not everyone is in a right relationship with him, but all need a witness. We are the witnesses as Christians, as those who have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. We are the witnesses. The good shepherd seeks sheep like these. Jesus saw their depravity and sin. And Jesus wasn't referring to a physical fainting in verse 36. He intended a deeper meaning. He was moved with compassion because these people were lost under a burdensome load of sin. There was so much sin that had came down upon them, that is on them. If you have the time, read Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. Read Psalms 38 and 4. So I want you to notice the sins of the world. We are surrounded by men and women who are capable of absolutely anything you can imagine. David and Bathsheba, Simon Peter, Judas, Iscariot. Some may say not me, but beware of when you say, not me. Remember the word of God says, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all came into this world sinners. Not one is perfect. Not one. But he moved with compassion because of these people were lost under so much sin. Why are we not moved? If we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, why aren't we not eager to help somebody get through? Help somebody to change their life around. We have 30 million excuses as to why we can't do this. I'm not prepared. I don't have time. I'm not ready. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. The Lord says, I will equip you with everything that you need to be a witness for me. I will direct your path. I will guide you in the direction you need to go. Pick up your Bible and I will give you the words to say. Notice the sins of the world. There are so many things that are going on. We drive down Frankfort Avenue and we see people shooting up. We see them drinking. Kids right in the midst. And not just Kensington and Allegheny. I'm talking all over the country, everywhere. These depraved people need to be reached by a compassionate Christian soul winner. Somebody has to be willing to step up and say, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me tell you how he has blessed me. Let me tell you what he has done in my life and brought me over the hump. The third thing is Jesus saw their destiny. He knew that they were not on their way to heaven, but to somewhere else. He could see the end from the beginning. He knew that apart from him, they would be heading someplace that they didn't want to go. Even the rich man, what we need to understand is sin does not care whether you're rich. He doesn't care. Sin doesn't care whether you're poor, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy. Sin falls where it may. No wonder he was moved with compassion. Jesus doesn't want anyone to go anywhere but with him. Christians need the same vision. If we really believe in hell, like we say we do, then why aren't we telling more men about the Savior? Why aren't we witnessing to others? Why aren't we speaking to others about God? Why are we keeping it to ourselves? Why don't we make time to heal our fellow man or begin the process? Because all you can do is plant the seed. Once you have planted the seed, then Jesus will step in and do the rest. Look around. There are people all around you who will die and go straight away from God. Will they go without your having told them? That is the question. I always tell people, I don't want to have to stand before Jesus. And he asked me the question, why didn't you take the time to minister to that person? Why didn't you use the resources that I given you to minister to that person? Why didn't you take the time to pick up the phone and call that person? Talk to your son, talk to your daughter, talk to your wife, talk to your father, talk to your mother. Why do we always leave it up to somebody else? If I am a Christian, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior, then I should be reaching out to my family, to my loved ones. When I thought about this last night, I said, wow, I got a pretty big congregation. All the people that need to hear the goodness of God, need to hear the good news. Even people who are sitting out and watching you every single day, they watch what you do. They watch how you live. They hear what you say. Our children repeat pretty much everything they hear. They mimic everything they see. So at what point do we begin to make the necessary change? At what point do we begin to make a change in the life and what we're doing and how others are living? I don't want my children to grow up emulating me. I want them to emulate the God in me. I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to know that there is a better life. I don't have to turn to suicide. I don't have to turn to drugs. I don't have to turn to alcohol. I don't have to become abusive to my wife. I don't have to become abusive to my children. Because Jesus has provided every solution. But if they don't know that, if you're not taking the time, if I'm not taking the time to tell them, then there is a serious problem. There is a serious issue. When you look around, there are people all around you who are going to die. The question is, where are they going to go? Jesus saw their despair without a shepherd. They were without a shepherd. The blessings of the church and of the saved are as follows: prayer, companionship, peace, joy, rest, and satisfaction. But these are the things that the lost world knows nothing about because of the amount of sin that they're living in. But they could know about it if we take the time to tell them, because it's our duty as believers to tell them about Jesus. Our hearts ought to be broken because the world doesn't know our Savior, and there's plenty to go around. Tell people all the time, you say, oh, there's no work out here. There's nothing I can do. I say, well, Jesus is hiring. Jesus is hiring all the time. He's looking for some laborers. He's looking for people to get out there who want to be blessed, but at the same time, they are blessing others. So Jesus places three responsibilities on the shoulders of his people. The first one is to visualize. See the harvest, see the need, see the people who are hurting, who are crying out for a better way, a smoother life. Recognize that not everyone is saved and millions are poised on the edge of everlasting damnation. We also need to see that the harvest is just waiting to be gleaned. We will never reap until we first enter the field. You have to get out there and do the work. You have to be able to step in there and handle what needs to be handled. He will equip you. He will show you the way to go. Then we need to agonize. Pray ye therefore. This is a call to be broken and burdened over the plight of the lost. There are a few broken hearts over the lost in our day. We need to attack these broken hearts on their behalf, constantly praying for them and seeking the Lord for souls of sinners. Evangelize. It is important that it's not enough to see the need, nor is it enough to just pray for the lost and be concerned for their souls. Jesus desires that each of us do the work of an evangelist. A portrait of a burdened Christian. He fulfilled the call to be a fisher of men. Two men were standing by their boat, trying to catch some fish. Wasn't having much luck. And here comes Jesus strolling down the beach. And he says to them, take up your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. But here's the thing. They didn't argue. They didn't question it. They didn't look at him and say, man, you crazy. They stopped what they were doing, took up their nets, and followed him. And he taught them how to reach others and draw all men unto him. So my question to you today is this: what are you doing to keep men in Christ? And are you having any success? God's plan is that his people bear the good news to a dying planet. Our job is the greatest in the world. If we can reach but one for God, then we have altered eternity for someone and gained the smile of God for ourselves. Perhaps you need to come before the Lord and confess to him that you haven't witnessed as you should have. And that's fine. The God that we serve knows that we are not a perfect people. He knows that we're not going to do everything right, decent, and in order, as we should. But what he does want you to know is that time is short. What he does want you to know is that the laborers are few and the harvest is plentiful. And it's ready. But time is running out. So my last question is, are you doing your part? There's a scripture that I want you to remember. It's Psalms 142, verse 4. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Now, I want you to think about your family members. I want you to think about your coworkers. I want you to think about those who are living on the street who desire a better life. Are they crying out to you that no one cares for me? Are they saying, for there is no one who acknowledges me? Are they saying to you that refuge has failed me simply because we don't take the time to minister to those about our Lord and Savior? We don't take the time to share with them what he has done. Take the time today. Pick up the phone. We go on Zoom for everything else. We do conference line for everything else. We pick up the phone and talk about CSI and NCIS and whatever. Pick up the time, pick up the phone and tell somebody about God. Take the time to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust me, I haven't always been a Christian, but somebody took the time to pray for me. And somebody took the time to tell me about the man named Jesus. So I want to say to you today, if you haven't already, turn your life over to Christ. You want to live a new life. You want to be at peace. You want satisfaction. You want happiness. Everything is not perfect. But at least with God on your side, you have a better shot. Trust the Lord today and allow him to come in. May God bless you and may God keep you. This is Reverend Lee West, your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry here at WWDB. 860 AM Talk Radio. If you're interested in an organization to help you or help someone you may know who has lost a child to homicide or some criminal act, Parents of Murdered Children here in Philadelphia. Our phone number is 267-586-1778. Our email address is philapomc@gmail.com. If you would like to leave a donation, you know who we are. $ Phila, PHILAPOMC, and the number 1 for Cash App. But we want to thank you. May God.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain.